But he was blessed to see heaven. God showed heaven and hell to more than one prophet. And he showed it to Muhammad too, peace be upon them. And Muhammad said that he saw the followers of Moses and the followers of Jesus Christ in heaven with Muslims. Does that answer the question?
Yeah.
All right.
I would like to.
So far, you all made this real easy for me. I've had it much more difficult.
I would like to ask a question. I was reading.
I better correct the thinking here, maybe. I don't mean more intelligent questions. I don't mean harder questions for me to answer with my intelligence. I mean, I have had more disturbing comments come from youngsters and more disturbing questions addressed to me than I've gotten today. Thank you for being a little bit more civilized. Well, you're much more civilized than some proud of us today. In fact, I haven't seen any disrespect, none but intelligence here, and good behavior. That's wonderful. Don't be afraid to be ugly and nasty. I'm ready for it.
I was reading, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us as Muslims that we are supposed to lower our gaze, Muslim men and women.
Yes, men and women.
Yeah, and I was wondering, just asking a question. Do you think that it is haram for Muslim men and women to have fashion shows together, or like, what are your views on it?
Good question. Excellent question. Don't go now. Stay here. Excellent question. In the Quran, God says, believing men, when you're approaching women, lower your gaze. And believing women, when you're approaching men, lower your gaze. She had just said this to me. She said that. Now, she asked now, in light of that, she asked, is it proper or approved that men and women have fashion shows together? I think every fashion show I have seen had haram in it. There was haram. But understand that I follow Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, and Muhammad the Prophet was also a strategist. Muhammad the Prophet was also a man that believed in a certain amount of gradualism. When the revelation first came against alcohol, it didn't tell the people it was forbidden for them to drink. They were first told of the harm and the bad in it. Then later finally the revelation came, in fact it came in 3 degrees, I believe, of insistence. The last said it was a bandit. It was forbidden. And no believer was to take alcohol or to take intoxicants. Actually, it's not whiskey, it's intoxicants. It covers reefers and anything else that will make your mind confused or drug. So I know that the fashion shows are not without some haram, but I don't stop them. But I try to use my influence. Even the music is like a haram. A lot of the music, most of it has got some haram in it. But I try to influence our culture, all of it, entertainment culture. I try to influence it so that the community becomes more and more conscious of the problem for Islamic life and begin to work against this haram. And I appreciate what you said. I hope that the day will come, sister, when we'll have fashion shows for sisters and fashion shows for brothers separately.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikumsalam.
I agree that many people were suspicious when you said how jinn come in the form of men. How is that possible? Does it like take over their body or whatever?
Oh, it's getting to be very, very exciting. I love it. I love fiction. Yes. Body snatchers didn't come from Hollywood. Body snatchers were always around. Yeah. Somebody stole the body of a close friend of mine. Something happened to that dude, and it wasn't him in that body anymore. Somebody else was in that body. Yes, they can possess bodies.
Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikumsalam.
What do you think that your father would have said after all things that he had accomplished in the community?
Yeah, I'll repeat it for you. I thought everybody heard it. She asked me, what do I think my father would say if he was here and had witnessed all the things that have been accomplished for this community? Well, I'm going to let you hear it. I'm going to let you hear him. I thank Allah for you, son.
Okay, Christians and Muslims are, and Jews are so close in religion, why are we also different?
I didn't get it again.
If Christians, Muslims, and Jews are so close in religion, how are we also different?
How are we different? Yeah. Excellent. Again, an excellent question that will be addressed in my presentation or in my address tomorrow. It will be addressed. That will be addressed. There are very serious differences. But if those differences were of the degree of seriousness that would prevent us from living together and working together for the welfare, health, welfare, and good future of society, Muhammad the Prophet would not have permitted Jews to continue their religion in Arabia in his lifetime. And he wouldn't have permitted Christians to continue their religion in Islamic lands, in his time. He himself, and this is established very clearly, no scholar in Islam that's really a scholar, I mean, he really studied, would disagree with what I'm telling you. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he made it law that Muslims not only live with Christians and with that preach their churches and with Jews in their synagogues. But he obligated Muslims, since we were in the majority and the nation was in Muslim control, he obligated Muslims to protect the sanctity, holiness, the sacredness of the religious places, churches, synagogues, and et cetera. There was also another religion still existing in the world. I thought it had gone until I learned in recent years that it's not gone, it still exists. Called in the Quran, Sabians. Sabians. They are people that Allah guided Muhammad to recognize as the people who believe in God. And he also permitted them to remain and practice also their religion. So, there are serious differences. And he asked a very important question. There are serious what's your name?
Shaji.
Tell it for me.
S-H-A-J-E-E.
Shaji. Yes, Shaji asked a very important question. And I said we will be addressing not only the sameness or the similarities, but also the differences for the two great religions, Islam, Christianity and Islam. tomorrow, inshallah. So I hope you understand, Shadi, that there are real serious differences. But the things we have alike, are so much more important that we guided in Islam to respect them as a people who believe in God, just like we do, and respect that they can be responsible for their life and their society, just like we can. And we have to live with them as citizens and neighbors, and not as people apart from one another, as enemies. You're not ever to be enemies of good Christians, or good Jews, or good people, period.
I was wondering, what did you think about America's plans to invade Iraq?
Let me first correct you. America is not planning to invade Iraq. Bush does not have the support of America yet to invade Iraq. Unless something happened in the news that I'm not aware of, since I checked. Bush is not getting the support of the government to invade Iraq. I'm sure Sharon and Bush are agreed, but not America, not yet.
I just wanted to ask that, like, if a young Muslim male brother or sister or whatever are, like, interested in each other, but not, like, are ready to get married, how should they go about that? And if, like, one of them are Muslim and the other one's a different religion, how should they go about that if they don't want to, like, get married or anything, because that's what it says in the Quran.
Very important question. For not only you, but for old person like me too. First, and for people desiring a mate, females and males desiring to mate one mate sexually for pleasure, for children, for the future, whatever. We should understand that in Islam, there is no sex without marriage. That's first what you said. Now, you didn't ask for all that. I'm sure you're not way back there. You're way ahead of that. I know that. But for the benefit of the audience, and what I say is going to be put it on tape, and it's going to reach other people, it's going to go beyond this audience right here. So first I want to say that sex in Islam, there's no sex in Islam without marriage. Now, this is so strict that if it is known by the Muslim society that male and female has sex and they were not married, they have to accept each other as man and wife or husband and wife right away. They have to say, well, we didn't do this with the intention not to marry or not. I do love her, I do love him. I do want him for my husband. I do want her for my wife. If they say that, then a wise judge will say, you did the act while you were married. You were married. Though you did not have a formal marriage witness, you were in spirit married when you did the act. They say, now, do you accept that we publish that you are married? If one of you say no, you're going to be flogged in the public, 80 lashes or 100 lashes or more. You're going to be whipped in the public. I mean, pain going to be put on you. Not stone, that's not Islam. You hear any stoning, that's un-Islamic. The person who ordered stoning should be stoned. That's savage. That's savagery. It's not Islamic. But that's the guilty one should be flogged in the public. It'll be adultery, it'll be fornication or adultery if you do not accept that it was an act by you desiring one another forever, not just for that moment. That's the first thing to realize. It's very important. Now, before you marry, you are not to even risk the temptation of getting sexually involved. You're not supposed to touch each other sexually. You're not supposed to touch each other with sex on your mind or from a sexual interest. You're not even touch each other. You're not kiss, no. No kissing, no touching, no expression from sexual interest at all. If you do, you're misbehaving as a Muslim. If you do that, you're misbehaving as a Muslim. Now, if you would have all the brothers and sisters that marry, including me, go before judgment, all of us would be guilty. All of us would be guilty. But you know, I didn't know. I wasn't as informed back then in my young years, younger year days, as I am now. I won't do it now. I won't do that. But back then, yes. And I guess you say, well, at your age, you won't have much problems sexually anyway. Sex problems won't come into the picture anyway. And that might be true. But we can still dream. So for me, there's a risk and a danger, just like it is for you young ones who are driven by life, you're driven by the force of your life. And it's hard to resist the urge in young life. It's very difficult, very difficult. So all of our leaders should not jump to judgment, not rush to judgment, and try to judge youngsters, judge their behavior, and be too hard on you all, because the urge in young life is a much greater challenge and test than it is for us in our 40s and older, or for many in their 30s. Much greater. You're in the worst time right now. Puberty, teenage years, the worst time. So you have the greatest challenge and the greatest struggle right now. And you are our heroes right now. If you are obeying these laws, you are our giants. Okay? And we thank Allah for you. Thank Allah for your parents that encourage you to be chaste and not to invite temptation. The key is don't invite temptation. Don't let yourself be tricked into a risky situation where you're risking your purity. One slip can wreck your life for the rest of your life. One slip can wreck the life of your family if you have a conscious, honorable family. It can wreck your family for the rest of your life. One slip. And be aware, be very aware, that people come among us, young men and old men. Not only among us, they go to church. They're perverted men, young and old, and unconscious. They just don't have any respect for anything. And they, as I think it was Freddie Krueger, he said, how sweet fresh meat. So they would come to a religious congregation, how sweet, fresh meat. Just to use you. And once they use you, they're gone. Unless you invite them to come back and they were pleased, they won't, they probably won't be back. But they have used you and they're gone. So be aware of that. Be aware, too, if you're the son of an imam or a daughter of an imam, be aware that these same people, they like to hurt people that shame them. See, our obedience, it annoys them. They wish we weren't even existing. So their minds will be free to just do the things and not be pricked by our presence, not be disturbed by our presence. They hate, they call those old goody goods. They hate us just because we want to be good, those old goody goods. And they'll come among you, young and old, boys and men, girls and women brothers, young brothers, they'll come among us just to make us guilty of their way of life, of their disrespect for decency. They want to make us guilty, so they'll be more comfortable doing the things they're doing. And there is nothing else for you to get to survive on. Now, that could possibly happen. How come God revealed that? Because it's possible that a fanatic person that's not a Muslim from the other religions could capture a Muslim and tell the Muslim, okay, if you don't eat this pork, then you're going to die. You're not going to get anything else. In fact, we've had some situations almost that bad in times past, in prison, where they didn't want to give us a pork-free meal. Okay, but they gave us other things. You could eat beets, but not a full diet. You didn't have a healthy diet, that's for sure. I ate in prison many times, and I didn't have a healthy diet. The doctor would have said, this man can't live like this. He should be given some meat. He should be given some protein, some eggs or something. And I had to eat beets and go to bed. Beets. You know, beets are vegetables. That's all they had that I could eat. And that's what I ate that milk, just beets, that's all I had. Sometimes just milk for breakfast, because the eggs cooked in lard, for a reason. So, it was worse for the generation before me, for my father and my brother, who went to prison during World War II, it was much worse for them. They were given boiled eggs. The prison finally accepted that they could boil eggs for the Muslims. So they boiled eggs for the Muslims, which was good. Way back then, during World War II, some progress was made for Muslims inside the prisons. I'm getting at this. We cannot, while we have to condemn the act, the insane act of those people, we cannot condemn them without also looking at the cause behind the act. What pressured them, what drove them to that degree of madness, insanity, or selflessness, where they became so selfless that they didn't see themselves as any importance at all. They could destroy their bodies, they could destroy their lives. And they thought it was justified to take the lives of any American. I'm going to tell you, they were indoctrinated. They were indoctrinated. They were told that all Americans are free to vote. And as long as they vote for people that are leading the country against us to do these things, all of them have a part in the guilt. So, knowing those things, I cannot tell you of that horrible image in human image without also telling you that we have to look at causes, what drove them to to that extent to do those things. You're welcome.